This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Welcome to the campaign after the campaign. This is not another D&D podcast.
Welcome back to Bahumia, everybody.
Bahumia!
I'm your Dungeon Master, Brian Murphy, joined by Jake Hurwitz.
With a duck ready to face havoc, Calder killed him.
Oh, I thought you were going to say ready to fuck.
Yeah, me too. I thought you were going to say something with fucking as well.
Oh, I am also ready to fuck.
Yeah, parentheses, ready to fuck.
Yeah. I think we're facing my brother, potentially.
Yeah. And then, of course, we've got Emily Axford.
A rainy elf and soppy mess who beat her mum at Eladrin Dragon Giant Chess.
Also ready to fuck.
Calliope Bedrock.
Also ready to fuck.
Nothing gets you in the mood like beating your mom at chess.
I love a slow tactical board game.
And then, of course, we've got Caldwell Tanner.
Bear Lane's plaything. Can't wait to see her again on another plane. It's Saul Buffo, parentheses,
ready to fuck.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Always ready to fuck. Put that in parentheses at the end of anything you say about us.
R2F. Duck team fucks.
Yeah, duck team fucks. Duck team sucks and duck team fucks.
Actually, I don't think a single one of us has gotten laid.
No.
No.
Well, it's, we don't fuck. We're ready to fuck.
Yes.
There's
ready
a big difference.
Yeah, and
we're into the idea of it.
Sometimes the readier you are puts off an off-putting
Yeah. Yeah. We reek of desperation.
The readier you think you are to fuck is the less you are ready to fuck.
Ratio, yeah.
We have so many old condoms in our track jackets.
Describing them as old and not unopened is...
Yeah, none of us had sex and we still have a son in this campaign. Yeah. That's fucked up.
Gunk!
An immaculate gunk, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right, and with that, let's go ahead and do a little recap.
Yeah!
So last time, you weathered the fury of five primordial giants awakened by the spirit Havoc. Bear Lane, the Hill Giant, Stone Commander Basalt Von Shale, Glorious Wave Mother Okoralil, High Ember Lord Charbin, and Garrosh, Master of Whispers.
Who?
Saul distracted Bear Lane with a cat and mouse routine. Sort of the Jerry to her Tom.
Always the Jerry, never the bridesmaid.
Yeah. While Calder addressed, what's a Tom and Jerry where Jerry just absolutely gets his ass kicked?
Where Jerry gets his ass kicked?
Yeah.
It's rare. It does happen occasionally where, like, Jerry gets a little too sassy.
Oh, yeah. It'll be, like, if there's, like, a smaller mouse or something.
Yeah, the baby mouse is there.
Yeah.
If that baby mouse is there, Jerry's absolutely getting whomped.
Woof. Mm-hmm. All right. Saul distracted Bear Lane.
This has been nice.
Yeah, this is good. You know what? Let's wrap it up here.
I like the ones where there's a bulldog in there and the bulldog has a son and he's like, oh, what you do to my boy?
Oh, yeah. The bulldog is sort of a protector, protects Jerry, and then also has a son who he also protects.
So it's not really a cat and mouse is more of a cat and mouse and dog
and
situation.
Dog game, and of course the dog is on the mouse's side.
Yeah,
and everyone's just against the cat.
Sometimes there's two cats, sometimes there's three cats, sometimes there's like a weirdly hot lady cat that looks just like a human woman.
Let's do plugs. Let's go ahead and do plugs and we'll give this another shot next
done.
Week
we
all right.
Let's go ahead and take 2 weeks off. We'll do Dungeon Court next week. We'll come back. We'll try this again. Sans Tom or Jerry.
This has been great, y'all. I'm going back in the box I get put in when I talk about cartoons too much.
To be fair, it's my fault.
Yeah, it's definitely Murph's fault.
Yeah.
It's been a minute since we recorded. It's good. It's good to get back into it.
Okay, so while Saul distracted Bear Lane, Calder addressed the less aggressive giant lords and pretended to love fire. Calliope then emerged from behind a stalactite, playing a soothing song, and appealed to the giants with an opportunity to destroy the Fey crowns. This piqued the interests of everyone except Bear Lane, who continued to use Saul as a stress ball until he was eventually able to calm her down.
Mm-hmm.
The giant lords asked for clarification, and the cloud giant Garrosh provided an assist, casting Zone of Truth on Callie and allowing her to explain that the prophecy of Oberon would now help the immortals of the Feywild instead of destroying them. The giants were interested enough and agreed to hear you out later, plane shifting away back to their homeworld, leaving you with Garrosh. There, the Master of Whispers revealed that he had seen himself on Ariax's divination wall and decided to be frozen with the rest of the Giant Lords. He spoke about the history of the Fey Crowns, but also provided insight on your current situation, pointing out the strangeness of the Havoc phenomenon, saying it was uncharacteristically sloppy of Ariax. Garrosh theorized that though Ariax isn't controlling Havoc, perhaps he left it behind for a greater reason than just to protect the Ice Knife. Garrosh said his goodbyes to you and offered to meet you back in the village after some debate about whether or not he'd fit in there. He helped blow away some of the havoc in the room, allowing you to enter a new chamber. Once there, you felt the power of the spirit growing, with its messages appearing as much more stream of consciousness. You saw things like, not yet, him first. The phrase, break down the gate, break down first. And finally, images of Calder and Gowan clashing swords with X's over the carvings. As you proceeded down the path, you clocked Gowan running down an adjoining hallway deeper into the chamber, now ahead of you in the race for the Ice Knife. Havoc appeared to let him pass while growing tendrils and launching out at you. And that's where we are now. Everybody, go ahead and roll initiative.
Ooh, okay. Wow.
Right into it.
Oh, right into it. Okay.
Unless you guys want to talk more about Tom and Jerry, because I'm game.
No, I got a 9. I got a 9. Let's go.
You know, you remember that one? Remember that one where he, like, he eats a big piece of cheese and then his body turns into basically a piece of cheese?
Oh, dude. Hilarious. So funny.
And then that only happened once?
He kind of gets bopped and then his cheese head goes down to his stomach.
He like blows on his thumb and inflates his fist. It rules.
15.
29. Okay. At the top of the order, Saul, you are first to act. You see black tendrils in the mist go to grab at you. You are in a long hallway, 120 feet long. Gowan ran down an adjoining hallway at about the 80-foot mark. So there's an adjoining hallway, and then straight ahead of you, there looks to be a chamber through which you see Havoc is kind of growing out of. So you get a sense that that is probably where the Ice Knife is. Gowan is running that way, 120 feet ahead of you.
Great. So I think what I want to do is I'm going to use my full movement. So that's going to be 50 feet of speed. And as I'm running, I'm going to pull a granola bar out of my pocket. I saved one that Kenna was trying to get at.
You could just ask me.
I don't know.
You don't have to hide them from me.
I've seen the way you get around granola. And I'm going to scarf that and use quickened heal. That's going to be my action. This is a key point maneuver.
Ooh. Oh, shit.
Yeah. I think that's like a new monk thing they added in Tasha's. So I'll do that while I'm running, and then I'll use my bonus action to do Step of the Wind and go another 50 feet.
Wow. Okay. Ooh. So you get 100 feet.
Yeah.
And I will say, Saul, damn, you're so...
Like a marathon runner just like pounding goo?
Just pounding a gel, yeah. You see Saul pounds a bunch of electrolyte goo with granola in it. It's absolutely disgusting.
Chunky goo.
And he speeds down the hallway, and you see Gowan has just disappeared into this shadowy archway down the hall. But you pass, as you go 100 feet, you see as you pass the 80-foot mark, mm-hmm. the adjoining hallway that he came from, it looks like there was a chamber down there that was his last test, essentially.
Oh.
And you can see above, whereas in the tunnel that you guys are in, there is an actual ceiling up there where he was at. There's only shadow and abyss. It looks like he essentially fell down here, went into some chamber, he did his test, and then he popped out right down here.
Do I see any remnants of his test that could be useful?
It's up to you if you would like. So you used 100 feet to go straight. If you want to use that remaining 20 feet to get into his chamber, you can do that.
I can hop on a serpent and go look at it if you want.
Okay.
But if, also, if you want to go, you can.
All right, yeah. What I'm going to do is... I'm going to spit some granola out of my mouth.
What are you doing, Mr. Buffo?
It's kind of a signal to let Callie know to check out this room.
How do you know she'll know to check out the room if you spit granola on
He's
it?
Just sprinting down the hallway, takes in a bunch of goo, goes faster, looks like he essentially barfs a little bit of a chunk
oh,
of this thing.
Oh, look at that. He's left a spit message for me.
That's a signal to go there instead of avoid it?
Yeah, yeah. You guys haven't noticed? This is classic me and Saul. He's always leaving me little messages and spit up food.
You guys have some kind of secret thing going on. I need to get to the bottom of this.
We fake made out so many times, and I guess something's rubbing off. I use my tongue to kind of draw an arrow.
Right on. Okay, now it's a little bit more clear.
Okay, I get it.
Okay, so Saul gets 100 feet. At the end of his turn, Havoc is going to take a legendary action. You see, it is going to reach out a tendril and attempt to grab him. Has to roll with disadvantage because Saul has not been hit yet.
Mm-hmm.
On the lower one is an 18.
Misses.
Okay, misses. You see one tendril swipes by, does not hit Saul. Then comes initiative 20. Unfortunately, at initiative 20, that is Havoc's lair action. You see, as Saul runs down the hall, you guys see the mist along the walls begins to, like, thicken. And then you see flashes and weirdly warped imagery around you, and you see the hallway actually extends another 30 feet.
Ah.
It's a lot more passageway for you to mark up with granola goo now.
So you really have to clock where the granola is now.
I lost the goo.
For clarification, it is called goonola because it's granola with goo mixed in.
Just,
you know, for the branding purposes.
Right on. Mm-hmm. We will be selling that in the merch store as soon as possible.
Not a bad idea. All pre-chewed by Caldwell. It's a guarantee.
Disgusting. Caldwell has baby birded every last bit of goonola.
It's unfortunately a guarantee.
Yeah. And it's free. You can just accept it. Just click if you want it, and he will send it to you.
There's no prize. It just says yes.
I'll leave you a message about Tom and Jerry on your voicemail.
It's like a Domino's pizza tracker, but it's just me chewing up.
All right. That's simply too stupid. We cut to Callie. Callie, that is your turn.
Okay.
So I'm going to say, I believe you summoned episodes ago. You're the one who summoned Honeysuckle. So Honeysuckle acts on your turn. Licorice acts on Calder's turn.
Okay. Okay. So I'm going to look at Honeysuckle and say, it's time to go. And I want to hop on Honeysuckle. And I want to use his movement to basically go get within range of Saul so I can cast a spell on him and then go into this chamber to inspect it.
Okay, rad. If Honeysuckle uses a dash action, you can get to Saul and still get to that hallway.
Yeah. So Honeysuckle's going to dash.
Great.
I'm going to do a drive-by spell.
Right on. Honeysuckle shoots out. Rum, 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 rum. Just begins chewing through Havoc, flying down the hallway. Callie, you reach your hand out and are able to slap Saul on the back.
And what I've done is I've braided a bit of yarn that he's given me in with my Eladrin hair as like a little lanyard, and I'm going to cast Protection from Evil and Good.
Whoa.
So that he'll be protected against undead and fey. I'm assuming
this is like a spirit. This will be count one this of those. Undead.
Okay.
Nice.
Okay.
So it has disadvantage on attacks, right?
So it has several benefits. Disadvantage on attack rolls against the target, because I know that Saul's pet. The target also can't be charmed, frightened, or possessed by the by them.
So Saul begins to kind of phase in and out. You see Havoc is trying to grab at him, but can't. Then, Callie, you continue down, and you're going down into the chamber that Gowan came from.
Yeah, I want to get some intel.
Great.
Thanks, Callie.
Still eating goonola.
You still have more in your mouth? There's so much on the wall.
Thanks for the message. It was really clear and direct.
You got it. This takes a long time to chew.
You see, as the hallway lengthens, you see the spray of goonola gets longer.
Just swallow it and point where you want us to go.
The magic's extending to the goonola.
I whisper to Honeysuckle, follow the goonola.
Nom, 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 nom. Don't eat it.
Honeysuckle somehow can't take it in, even though he eats rocks. Callie, as you go down this adjoining hallway to the other side, you see above you, again, is all abyss. It looks like he probably fell down here from the bridge. And you see a chamber a little ways down the hall, and looks like it may be where he took his last test. And you and Honeysuckle glide in there and see a small chamber. There is white mist covering the far wall. This looks similar to the magic that was covering the future of the divination wall back when you talked to Lumi and stuff.
Yeah.
You also see a small bowl on a pedestal here, and it almost looks like a little altar or something, and you see in the bowl there are some ashes.
Ashes. Does that mean he sacrificed something? I touched the ashes. Are they still warm?
You go touch the ashes. They are still warm. But go ahead and give me, I'll say you can do perception, investigation, or arcana.
16.
Yeah, 16. Callie, you reach in, and this is different than something that was just burned. This is, you see, like, the little remains of a scroll in the ways that, like, when you use up a scroll, essentially you'll, like, open it, cast the spell, and it'll kind of turn to dust.
Yeah.
That is what happened here. It looks like Gawain or someone else cast a spell in here, and there is a used up scroll in this bowl of ash here.
Well, I don't have an action left, so I think I'm just gonna take a little bit of the ash and put it to my tongue.
Okay.
All right.
I'll say roll insanely high on an arcana check if you want any information.
I'm just gonna crit. I got a 4.
You got a 4. Okay.
Close.
Tastes like ash.
Okay. I'm going to waft the mist away and see what the wall says. Okay.
Callie, you rush up. This is all happening, like, very quickly. You essentially go up. You find this bowl. You're like, what the hell is this? You put your finger in it. You put it to your tongue. You know it was a spell scroll, but you don't know what it was.
Huh. Tastes like barbecue.
Behind the mist, Callie, as you wave it away, you see, once again, carvings on the wall in the ice here. And you see a few images. You see, starting from left to right, on the left, you see a sword with Sylvan runes on it. And you read Sylvan, right?
Yeah.
Okay. It is actually a really good thing that you are in this room, because you're going to get more information than other people.
Okay.
You see the runes on that sword say, break down.
Break down.
From that sword, there is an arrow pointing to a carving of a being that looks like Alexandrite. To the right of that image is that same sword crossed with another sword, which also has Sylvan runes on it.
And what do those say?
That one says, the gate.
Break down the gate.
From there, there's an arrow pointing to a carving that looks like the rift in the sky, which appears open. You see, like, it looks like the carving of, like, a light coming through that rift in the sky that hangs over the ice knife.
Okay. Are either of these swords the ice knife?
You look at the sword that says breakdown on it, and you recall watching Ariox's last moments when he was wrestling with Radak with the sword, and those runes were kind of hard to see in, like, the memory that you were watching. But you see it, and you recognize those runes as being breakdown that was on the ice knife.
Okay.
Next, in initiative, another legendary action from Havoc. Havoc is going to swing out, has just seen Honeysuckle go, so is going to lash out at Licorice.
Hey! Hey! Back off!
You see, Licorice gets up and starts hissing. Go ahead and give me a strength saving throw from Licorice, because Havoc does hit him and tries to wrap around and restrain Licorice.
Licorice got a 5.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Would you let me use Indomitable?
I will let you if you want. I am going to say you might want to save it. It's going to be really hard for Licorice to beat the DC on a strength save, but it's up to you.
Got it. Okay, no, it's fine.
Also, the serpents are avatars of the serpents. Yeah. If Licorice gets left behind or disperses, you can summon him back.
Okay.
But he does look at you with really sad doe eyes.
Fuck it, I'm using Indomitable. That one.
Okay. No. You see, as you reach in to help, a tendril that was going for you instead turns and goes for Licorice and wraps around him. Licorice is restrained.
You see what you made me do, Gawain? Dickhead!
You just see Gawain's feet going through as he passes the archway. After the legendary action, that is actually Havoc's turn proper. So Havoc is going to take 3 tendril attacks. First thing it's going to do is take a crack at Saul with disadvantage.
Uh-huh.
Oh boy, shout out to the 2 crew. Does not hit Saul. Saul, you are fucking invincible to this thing. Lashes out at your feet. You do a flip, kick off the wall. You are still good to go. Next thing it's going to do is take a strike at Calder.
Oh, you haven't hurt me enough, have you, Havoc?
21 to hit you, Calder?
Yeah, that does.
Okay. Cracks you. Go ahead and give me a intelligence saving throw as you feel your brain scrambles. You feel like static in your head.
Ooh. Wish I had Indomitable. That's another nat one.
Okay.
Back in the pile.
Okay, Calder, you have muddled thoughts. You like can't think straight. You're going to subtract a D6 from attack rolls and ability checks.
Oh my god.
That's nasty. This and the snake, Merv? Yeah, sorry. I hate Jake Hurwitz in real life.
What?
You can make a saving throw at the end of your turns to
Jake
get out of
snake.
This. Yeah. Last one is going to go at Calder again. Swings at Calder. That is a 20 to hit.
Yeah.
Okay. Cracks you. Calder, go ahead and give me a strength saving throw.
All right. That one's a little bit better. That's a dirty 20.
Dirty 20 passes. Calder, you feel Havoc grabs at your wrist where you're holding Shard and tries to pull it off of you. But fails.
No, you've taken one thing away from me already.
Looks at you with doe eyes and is trying to get out.
You're not gonna leave it, are you, Mr. Gilday?
I'm not running at all.
Calder sits down.
After Havoc's turn, that is your turn, Calder.
Okay. I'm gonna cast Expeditious Retreat on myself.
Right on.
Grow some ice skates and just Apollo Ono down the hallway.
So with Expeditious Retreat, I believe it does dash as a bonus action, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which means that
yes.
It's a bonus action spell. So on this turn, you can go 60 feet and on future turns, you can go 90.
Got it.
Okay, so Calder casts that, grows ice skates, begins sliding down the hall, gets only 30 feet in because you had been blown back 30 feet by the the room extending. But you do see Gunola all along the walls near you.
God.
It's spreading.
It makes me run faster.
Yeah.
It hardened so quickly.
After Calder's turn, you see Havoc is going to take another crack at him. And with a nat one, misses.
Whew. Okay. So,
am I allowed to do a save at the end of my turn to get rid of my...
You are. Go ahead and do an intelligence saving throw.
Nice. 21.
21 passes. You're able to clear your mental fog. You get some of your clarity back. You continue to skate down the hall. You hop over another tendril, and you are good.
Fuck it. I ate some gunola.
There's plenty on the wall.
I need it.
After Calder's turn... That is someone else's turn. They're going to go deeper into the chamber.
Hmm? Oh.
Oh, whoa. Murph, I just noticed your little map there. That's really cool.
I got a little map. It's for me. After that is Kenna's turn. Kenna is so far behind. Kenna just, I'll save Flickrish, don't worry. Runs up and actually gets 60 feet, so gets up right next to you, Calder.
Nice.
Actually, I'm sorry, I can't. I couldn't do anything. He's stuck.
No, it's okay. Yeah, I heard. Yeah, we can. I'm sorry.
After Kenna's turn, that is a legendary action from Havoc. Havoc is going to swing down the hallway and go at Callie, and Honeysuckle is going to try to grab Honeysuckle.
Okay, wait. I think I can do something to make Honeysuckle not get attacked. Because I'm a mounted combatant. Okay. You can force an attack targeted to your mount to target you instead.
Wow.
Whoa.
Okay. Callie, you lean down and swing your sword through Havoc. It would have been an 18 to hit.
That misses.
Wow. Woo! Okay, Callie.
Oh, fuck yes.
Yeah, you see that?
Going after an innocent servant.
Wait, Callie, come back and protect Licorice, too. I fucked up.
Just looking at Calder still with doe eyes.
I shouldn't be allowed to have pets.
So, Callie, you swing down, and you see that in order for Havoc to materialize these tendrils, it is having to, like, gather its power and stuff. So when you swing through it, it does, like, shatter it for a moment. It needs to reform. So it looks like it's regenerating, but you were able to spare Honeysuckle here. Honeysuckle's all good. After that is back up to Saul's turn.
Okay. I shout at Havoc, leave the snakes out of this! They've done nothing wrong.
Yeah, what do you have against snakes? Are you a gardener?
You're just a bunch of tendrils. You're basically a snake yourself.
Yeah.
Come on.
Turns into a bunch of snake fangs and begin chomping at you. Worse.
Okay, scary.
How far ahead of me is Gawain now?
You don't see Gawain anymore. Gawain has fully run into the archway and is taking turns in that other room. You are now 50 feet away from that archway.
Great.
Because the hallway did extend, but you went so fast that you already were 100 feet when you got pulled back 30.
Okay. Let me go ahead and roll my d6 for my health from last time.
Oh, cool.
Ooh, that's a 6. That's 10 extra HP.
Great. You right. love Gunola.
Good. Swallow it this time.
It's the food you don't have to swallow.
No, it's not.
It just absorbs.
It's like chewing tobacco, but for electrolytes and granola.
Tread so carefully.
Guys,
tread so
carefully, everyone. I was going to say, be careful.
Okay, so I think I'm just going to go ahead and do, I want to do another Step of the Wind as my bonus action, and then I'll use my movement to do 50 feet. So I'm going to do a full 100. Wow. And then I want to hold my action until I see Gawain. Is that okay?
Yes.
I can give you a trigger if you want.
So you can do 100 feet with just your movement and bonus action.
Uh-huh.
That is fucking wild. Saul, you run down the hall faster than Havoc is able to control the hallway. And you essentially are able to catch up to Gawain. You break through this archway. You guys, Callie and Calder actually more so because you're still in the original hall, see Saul disappear into the smoke where Gawain was going.
Leave Gunola. Leave a trail. Now I'm into it.
Now you love it.
I'm leaving a little like trail, basically like the dotted lines on a road. I'm just leaving Gunola bits.
You see Licorice breaks free for a second, but then slips on the Gunola and then gets grabbed again.
No,
and because you...
that one wasn't on me, Licorice.
Looks at Calder desperately.
What did I do? I'm against the Gunola.
Nobody would have a problem if it was breadcrumbs. Why is everyone so upset about this?
Saw, you break through the archway and see swirls of black smoke along the outside of this enormous domed room. It looks like a corrupted version of Ariox's divination room. Whoa. You see a bunch of like scrawled out etchings, much sloppier than what you've seen before. So many things written that it's impossible to make sense of, but go ahead and give me a perception check and I'll tell you what you can see.
You got it. 15?
Okay, with a 15, you see chaos and violence, like depictions of a wild, huge-scale battle. You see death and destruction, chaos and violence. You enter, and you still have more movement because it only took you 50 feet to get up, so you can do with what you want, with what you see in this room. You are in the upper tier of this cavern where the black smoke is circling. You see hundreds of tendrils shooting out from the smoke and gathering at the source of its power, the frozen statue of Ariox and Radak locked in deadly combat. This is where the ice knife is. They are connected by a long sword that has stabbed through them both. Ariox has been stabbed with like the point of it, Radak with icicles that shoot out of the hilt into him.
Whoa.
The giant longsword glows with blue ancient sylvan runes. That statue is 50 feet down in the center of the pit. You are up on the outer rim of the dome. Gawain had to use a dash action to get to it. So he is down there, but is sort of hesitating and putting his hand on the ice knife, but has not pulled it out yet. You see, as you enter the room, he turns up and looks at you, and you see flickers in his red pupils, and he goes, "Stay back! This isn't your fight!"
"It's all of our fight! Don't you get that? This involves all of us! Look around on the walls! We're all involved! We're all connected in this! You just have to take a step back! Let us help you!"
"This isn't your burden, then! This part of it is not your burden.
Don't you understand? The more burden you take, the more I feel. That's how this works. Everything ripples."
I'm just going to jump down.
Okay.
And kind of just, you said it was kind of like does it slope down into the middle here?
It slopes down. It's also, it's almost like you're on the outer rim of this like domed kind of cavern and you can jump down. I mean, you have Featherfall. It's nothing for you to fall 50 feet.
So I kind of want to just, like rock slide down.
Hell yeah.
Surf down on the rocks.
You rock slide down. You get up right next to Gawain.
I think there's a chance this might not work, but it's worth trying. I'm going to use Hour of Reaping on him.
Okay.
Each creature within 30 feet makes a wisdom saving throw.
Damn. Okay. And what does it do?
If he fails, he's frightened until my next turn.
Wow.
So I basically want to just scare him off.
Okay. Gawain passes.
Okay.
You see, Gawain looks at you, and as you get close, there's a moment of sadness in his eyes, and then he takes on a look of steely determination, and he goes,
You've chosen your own fate, then.
And he gets ready to grab the ice knife. After Saul's turn, Havoc is going to try to grab at him, try to pull him back. Rolls with disadvantage. 17 to hit you.
Misses.
Saul, you jump to the other side of the statue. You see the tendrils licking out past you.
Callie's umbrella, a spectral umbrella, bursts out.
Beautiful. That is another lair action at initiative 20. You guys are falling even further behind because it extends another 30 feet.
Whoa.
God damn it.
So Calder is essentially back at where he started, zero. You go back, you go to the beginning of the Gunola.
But at least I'm wearing ice skates.
Yes. You and Kenna are running, and the room is like elongating as fast as you are running. Kenna's screaming, Mr. Buffo, Mr. Buffo! After the lair action, that is Calliope's turn.
Okay. I'm going to ride Honeysuckle up to this arch.
Okay.
Get a look on what's going on.
Okay. You poke your head through, mm-hmm. and Calder, you see Callie disappears into black smoke.
As I pass,
oh, fuck.
I'm like, keep your spirits up. You two are going to be the cleanup crew.
Kenna and Calder just so far behind.
Mr. Kilday, I'm sad about licorice.
Me too. Me too. I don't think they're never going to forgive me.
I'm just in there being like, your brother's going to be here real soon. And he's going to want to talk to you any minute now.
Callie, you poke your head through this archway, and you see depictions of violence all along this dome, and you see in the center of the room this statue of Radak and Ariox in battle, in their like death pose, with Gawain about to pull the sword from the statue, and you see Saul down there dodging tendrils that want to grab him so bad but just cannot.
Okay, I'm going to have Honeysuckle take me 20 feet further, and then with the remaining amount of his movement, start heading back to Kenna and Calder. As I do, I'm going to cast Sanctuary on Honeysuckle.
Wow.
So anytime that Havoc wants to attack him, he has to do a wisdom save to attack him.
Shit. Okay, you see shimmering starlight around Honeysuckle, and you see an image of the Serpent Queen protecting her
That's
kin.
Right. And so I'm going to send him. He's getting 30 feet back towards...
So Calder, as everything is looking so bad, you see Honeysuckle covered in stardust suddenly flies back through.
Stay away. Stay away. I'm bad news.
And begins trying to get to you.
No. Nom, 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 nom. You can't trust me. I'll just fuck it up.
No. Okay. Honeysuckle gets ready to meet them halfway, gets back out the archway. Calliope, you are now 20 feet in. You are 30 feet away from Gawain and Saul in the center of this room here.
I think I'm going to use my movement to just walk over, and I'm going to try to take the knife.
Okay, you do need an action to take the knife.
I have an action.
What?
Sanctuary is a bonus action.
Okay. Callie.
I'm just going to look him in the eye and say, this is Calder's.
You jump down to the center here. Gawain is distracted by Saul, just had this interaction with him, but he does have his hand on the hilt. You go to grab it, but here's what I'm going to say. Since he's already in the process of getting it, this is almost going to be like you're disarming him, so I'm going to make it a contested strength check. But since Saul is right here, I will let you both roll to try to beat him, and if either of you does, you can wrench this thing free. So, Saul, you have the alert feat. You literally look up and see Callie before Gawain even notices her. You guys all three converge on the hilt of the ice knife at the same time.
Okay. No!
Callie, now!
Okay, I got an 11.
Oh, nat 20.
Oh, shit! Okay. So Gawain got a total of a 17. He rolled a 10 on strength. He has a 17. So Gawain just, no, as it slips through his hands. But you guys pull against it. The combined power of both of you overwhelms him. Callie, you're like reaching in, summoning your magical starfire and kind of emboldening yourself. And Saul, you're standing on Gawain's head, just kind of prying it from him, using like the strength of your legs and your whole body. And finally, the two of you pull it free from him, and it sends all three of you falling to the ground. Gawain falls over, Saul falls to the other side of the statue, and Callie, you collapse back. And when you look over, you see the ice knife in your hand, this long sword with glowing blue runes. It is surrounded by this essence of havoc that whips around it.
Okay.
And as the sword is removed, you hear the giant back wall of the cavern suddenly cracks and begins to pull apart. And stalactites begin falling from the top of the cave. Everything begins shaking. Gawain is kind of scrambling and looking around as you see a pathway opens up out of this labyrinth into the mountains overlooking the village.
Okay, but not into the Feywild.
Not into the Feywild, okay. No. Out into, onto the mountains here, like the ruins of Mount Forge. You feel cold wind and see twinkling lights from starlight leaking in. And as you start to stand up with the sword, Gawain also stands up and holds his hand out and goes,
please, just don't make me debase myself even more. I don't want to hurt you. I just want this all to be over.
You don't want to hurt me? Look into my face. This is the face of the people you are going to hurt. You are not saving your village. You're sparing your village at the expense of the fucking Feywild.
Gawain looks very conflicted at that.
Yeah, that's right. All your fucking language of martyrdom and whatnot, but really you're just shielding your family with the bodies of others. How's that sit with you?
Go ahead and give me a persuasion check.
Dirty 20.
Okay. Gawain looks like he was getting ready to launch in to wrestle you for the ice knife, but instead just shrinks. You see his shoulders kind of go in, and he goes,
I'm sorry. Maybe there could be another fight in the Feywild.
No, but you've seen the writing on the wall. You were in the same chamber I was in. The knife goes to Alexandrite, and then she breaks open the gate to the Feywild, and your people are safe, but for how fucking long?
As you say that, Callie, go ahead and give me an insight check.
Okay, come on. 15.
You see you've hit at something that Gawain has been struggling with.
I know.
That he has not wanted to think about the other side of this, of what will happen.
I wouldn't have said any of this if Calder was here.
But he doesn't register what you were saying. You see, he goes from desperation and wanting to be able to convince himself and you that he's doing the right thing to protect his people, mm-hmm, to not knowing what the fuck you're talking about when you're talking about that room.
What room? What prophecy?
Chamber, the place that you were in. You did a bit of magic. You saw on the wall that you give the knife to Alexandrite and then she breaks the gate with it. It's on the wall, painted.
You register that he knows that Alexandrite probably he knows what the ice knife is for. He knows what she wants to use it from, but he has no idea what you're talking about seeing it on the wall.
I've taken a bit of the ash, so I hold it up. This room, you did a little spell. It's a spell and it was a scroll.
You hold it up in your hand, and with the power of the ice knife, this thing that was wielded by Ariox, you have sort of an elevated arcane knowledge that you wouldn't otherwise have. And you suddenly, even though you don't do anything with it, you feel the taste of this ash in your mouth again.
Yeah.
And you recognize this spell as being Modify Memory.
Mm.
Gawain has erased whatever happened in that room from his memory. And as you have that realization, you don't see it move at all. But the statue of Ariox nearby seems to be looking right at you, and you feel a wind pass by as you smell spearmint and tea leaves on the wind, and once again hear the words of your mother. You hear, if your opponent thinks they have all the pieces to win, let them.
What? I think I look up at Oriax and I just say, what are you up to? Why did you want him to forget seeing that?
After Calliope's turn, that is Havoc's turn proper. You see the tendrils whip around and are going to try to grab at Callie. Callie, that is a 23 to hit you.
That hits.
Okay, Callie, it swipes at you. Go ahead and give me a strength saving throw as the tendrils grab your wrist and attempt to pull the ice knife from you.
14.
Okay.
I could use a luck. I have my charge on my luck blade, but I'm starting to feel like with my mom saying that and it being like, maybe he is supposed to have the sword. So I'm not going to reroll it. I'm just going to let it happen.
You feel a soothing breeze cross your wrist as you make that decision. And you feel Havoc pulls the sword loose and it clangs onto the ground. What? And you see Gowan goes to grab it.
What? Callie, what are you doing? Pick up the sword.
I think he's part of this. I think he's part of the puzzle. I think all we can do is let him do what he wants to do and make sure he doesn't die as a pawn.
Havoc is then going to take two more swings, is going to once again try to fucking grab Saul. A 19 to hit Saul?
Ooh, doesn't it?
Doesn't hit. Wow. Okay. 20. Yeah, just cannot get him. Is going to try to grab Callie. 25 to get Callie.
That gets me.
Callie, go ahead and give me a dex saving or a strength saving throw.
Okay. It's a 25.
Jesus
dex
Christ.
Save.
Oh, yeah. Callie,
that
you,
feels good.
You get hit by these tendrils, tries to wrap around you, and you manage to slip out. But you kind of go to the other side of the statue, away from the ice knife that glows on the ground here. After Havoc's turn, that is Calder's turn.
Would love to get in this room.
90 feet away is Honeysuckle.
Okay.
And you can go 90 feet.
Yes, I can.
I'll even let you scoop up Kenna if you want.
Yeah, can I pull Kenna along?
Yeah, you pull Kenna along, and you skate down this hallway. You hop onto Honeysuckle's back, and Honeysuckle will act on Calliope's turn, but you pretty much have to use all of your action economy to get up there, unless you have anything else you can pull off.
No, not yet. I've used a bonus action.
After Calder's turn, that is a legendary action from Havoc.
Oh.
Has to concentrate on the room with the dome now because Callie and Saul got so far so fast, and is going to try to grab Callie first. That is a 30 to hit.
That hits.
Another strength or dex save.
Okay, come on, dex. Come on, dex. 17 on the die.
You guys are just rolling out of the way so fucking dexterous.
Oh, that feels... God, it feels so good when you roll a good strength or dex save. It just feels like you're strong.
We're so fucking limber, dude.
So yeah, that's 23.
Callie, you get out of the way. You're all good. After Havoc's legendary action, that is Gowan's turn. Gowan looks confused at all of this, that Havoc's sort of attacking you guys, but not attacking him, does look guilty, but reaches down, grabs the ice knife, and goes, just stay back, stay back! Holds the sword up to you guys, but then is going to run towards the light, use a full dash action. You see this room has essentially cracked open onto the mountain and is going to run out into the light, and you see he runs out into the snow.
So he's going to bring it to Alexandri, but does that prophecy mean that that's supposed to happen? Because Oriox dreamed us up on the wall, and we're taking that as a good sign, but Oriox also dreamed Alexandri getting the sword up on the wall.
Wait, Callie, you said there was another sword?
Yeah, there's another sword. It says the gate on it in Sylvan. Do I recognize that sword from anywhere? Is it Shard?
Kelly, as you say that, we cut down the hallway, and Calder, as you hop on Honeysuckle and there's this sanctuary mask around Honeysuckle, you see Shard begins glowing.
Oh, that's new.
And you look at your sword,
shard, another word for peace. And you see sylvan runes begin glowing in blue as it gets close to the ice knife. As it does, you feel a cold wind pick up around you and sort of reach your mind, and you have a vision. Your mind travels to a chamber in this labyrinth, the one that Callie had just visited, and you see the carvings in the wall with shard crossed with the ice knife. You recognize this as shard. You see it glowing on the wall there. And you are seeing a vision of Gawain's last challenge. You see he's brushing himself off, having just fallen from the abyss above. He goes over and begins looking at the wall here, these etchings, the one sword going to Alexandrite, the two swords crossing, the gate opening. But there is another etching here that was not here before that Callie did not see. You see a carving of Lumi. And after a moment, the spirit of Lumi emerges from the wall. Gawain Kilday, you don't know it yet, but you are part of a plan to defeat this great machine. Gawain looks skeptical, but Lumi continues. The enemy you face can read minds. She can sense motives. She has to think that you're going to help her in order for you to get in close. The first strike has to be you. And Gawain is overwhelmed, but looks hopeful, then kind of sad, just kind of deflates and shakes his head. I can't betray her. She'll kill everyone in the village, and I'm sworn to protect them. Lumi nods. There may be a way to stop that. I cannot guarantee anything, but I can offer you hope, a chance. We will need to wipe your memory of this true plan. Otherwise, the machine will sniff it out. How can I enact a plan if I can't remember it? You will recall it at the right moment. You just need an anchor. Another memory to trigger this one. And it needs to be strong, stronger than the magic we used to erase it. Calder, do you have a strong memory of your brother Gawain?
Oh, wow. Calder thinks back to when they were kids and they used to skate on the frozen lake. And the kids would always tease me. They'd tease Calder. And one day, things got a little heated. Some kids started shoving me. And Gregor actually stepped up and punched somebody right in the teeth. And I was grateful. And I went home and I wondered why it was Gregor that would stand up for me and not Gawain. But then the next morning, Gawain pulled me out of bed before the sun rose. And he brought me to the meat shed. He taught me how to punch. And he taught me how to fight. And every day for a winter, Gawain trained with me. And it was Gawain that stood up for me by teaching me how to stand up for myself.
Man. Calder, you see Gawain tells this story to Lumi. But the way he tells it gives you even more kind of insight about how this went down. Gawain is very afraid about how the people around him view him and about his standing in the village and about his reputation. So while, you know, in your years since this happened, you're like, oh, Gawain really like taught me this lesson and everything. And like, actually his lesson was even better than Gregor's. The way Gawain tells it, he was afraid to stand up for you in that moment. And he sort of envied you and Gregor for your courage to stand out. And that winter, you might have been learning the technique of fighting from him, but as he remembers it, he was learning the fighting spirit from you.
And learning that just makes me love him more, because He isn't perfect, after all. He's just my brother.
Lumi nods and goes, okay. This is really summarizing a beautiful thing into something kind of silly, but your anchor will be meat shed. And
it means so much.
Gowan.
So many layers.
Gowan nods and looks kind of excited, and Lumi goes, then you agree to the plan. If there's a chance to actually stop her, then I'll take it. Lumi sniffs him. I thought you might say that. And she goes on to tell him the plan, but Calder, as you're sort of seeing this in a vision, this part is warped. Her mouth is, you know, obfuscated. The sound is fuzzy. This has been erased with a modify memory spell. You see Lumi hands it to Gowan, who consumes it at the end of the vision, the ashes falling into the bowl, and you snap back to reality, shard glowing at your side.
I sprint forward.
Right on. Okay, so you're still on Honeysuckle. Honeysuckle is getting ready to go. We'll act on Callie's turn.
Yeah!
And
sorry about licorice. You're my guy.
Hey, everybody. It's Emily here to talk to you about Squarespace. This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether you're just starting out or managing a growing brand, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content to time. Start a completely personalized website with the new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint. Choose from professionally curated layouts and easily launch your website and get discovered fast with integrated, optimized SEO tools so you show up more often to more people and grow the way you want. With Squarespace, you can make a place to upload videos or sell content or memberships, courses, music, ebooks, or if you're a small business, you can easily manage your clients and invoices in one streamlined, customizable workflow. So go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/pawpaw to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Goodbye, sweeties.
Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Factor. Warmer, sunnier days are calling. Fuel up for them with Factor's no prep, no mess meals. You can check out their menu of chef-crafted meals with options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto Friendly. Folks, their fresh, never frozen meals are ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you will always have time to enjoy nutritious, great tasting meals. Make today the day you kickstart your new routine. What are you waiting for? With 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from, every week you'll always have new flavors to explore. So make your day delicious from breakfast to dessert. Stay fueled with easy and nutritious options. And also keep that kitchen time to a minimum. Factor's meals are ready in just 2 minutes. So that's no shopping, no prepping, no cooking or cleaning up. Enjoy effortless support for your lifestyle. Head on over to factormeals.com/pawpaw50 and use the code pawpaw50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code pawpaw50 at factormeals.com/pawpaw50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. Thank you, everybody.
Next in the initiative is Kenna's turn. Kenna will also hold her action until Honeysuckle can move. Havoc is going to... Why Havoc is even trying anything, I don't know, is going to swing out and try to... You know what? Fuck you, Saul. We'll try to get you this time.
Just try.
With a disadvantage, just cannot hit you. 17. Swings out. You get out of the way. And you do see that the power of Havoc seems to be going with the ice knife as Gowan runs out into the light, into the mountains beyond the chamber. That's the end of the round. Back at the top, that is Saul's turn.
Okay. I'm going to bolt towards Gowan.
Uh-huh.
And as I do, I'm going to put my sunglasses on, my detector shades, just to get kind of a sense of, like, if there's any, like, Alexandrite presence, like, hiding out on Gowan.
Totally. Saul, you run out of this last chamber onto the mountain. It is an impossibly cold, windy night. In the sky, you see
bright stars and a green streak of light from the planar rift that almost seems to pulsate with power. Below you, you see the sleepy village of the Ice Knife, but ahead of you, Gawain is still running. As you start to use your movement to get out there behind him, you're way faster than him, but he's ahead of you. You put on your glasses, you look all around you, and you do see, not on Gawain, Gawain seems to have no Alexandrite magic on him, but like you're using heat-seeking goggles, and you see a person, you see a being of pure Alexandrite, Alexandrite herself, hovering around the side of the mountain, coming across this mountain pass to meet Gawain here. And as you get close to her, this is a concentrated amount of magic here. This seems to be a prime body or one of her prime avatars. As you start to get close to her, you feel your body begin to freeze up and your brain begin to scramble. Go ahead and give me an intelligence saving throw.
That's going to be a 3.
Saul, you drop to the ground incapacitated. Still conscious, but you cannot control your body right now. You feel muddled and disconnected. You see Gawain looks back concerned.
Gawain, you don't have to do this alone.
I told you not to follow me.
Do you think this is good? Do you think what she's doing is what we want?
Of course I don't think it's good. I'm doing what I have to do.
And he turns away from you and keeps running ahead. After Saul's turn, that's the lair action. The hall gets 30 feet longer. You're all good. You're on honeysuckle.
What the fuck?
that is Callie's turn.
Okay, the third part of the triptych I saw.
Yeah.
It was break down the gate, the two swords. Were they crossing like they were clashing, or were they crossing like they were being combined and used together?
I'm not even going to make you roll an insight check. You have figured it out, combined and used together.
Okay.
Okay. You see at the beginning of the round, Honeysuckle bursts through the door and gets down to where Calliope is. You guys are in front of this frozen statue of Ariox. And you see, Calder, you've missed a lot. You see the chamber has opened out onto, you recognize these mountains as mountains overlooking the village. You can see like little sparkles of stars and like fires from the village. And you see that Saul has dropped outside in the snow here, and Gawain is disappearing like a little dot running down this mountain pass.
Okay, I see Calder and I'm like, Calder, Gawain, he's gone outside and you have to go out with him because I think he's a part of this in a way that we didn't realize. I don't know if Shard and the Ice Knife have to work like together or be physically combined, but yeah, I don't know if it's metaphorical or real, but you go find him. Go find Gawain.
Yeah, I think he's on our side. You're right.
Okay. Calder, you're on Honeysuckle and you start shooting out towards the opening in the cave here. Callie, you still have your turn. This is your turn to act.
Okay. I look around. Is there unfinished business in here?
You still have this statue here,
yeah,
of Radek and Ariox.
They're like final moment.
Their final moment. And the sword has been removed from them, so they are no longer connected. And you've got Ariox here stuck in his last moment. He's got this like pained grimace on his face, but a look of like stoic determination.
Can I put my hand on and feel like if there is lingering curse or something in this?
You put your hand on it, and I will say it seems like havoc was emanating from the Ice Knife. And in fact, as Gawain left, you saw like the tendrils of havoc going with him. So it doesn't really feel like curse here. It does feel like, weirdly enough, if you were to shatter Radek, it might actually bring him back or allow him to, he's somebody who like regenerates and has like, you know, cursed powers. So he might come back. Ariox, this does not seem cursed. This seems like magic, essentially like encased in a gem or like a crystal.
Okay. Then I will put my hand up to Ariox. And I think I want to say, you've carried this regret and remorse for long enough, but winter is thawing. And spring is just around the corner. And I think as I say this, my like little frozen Eladrin kind of melts. And then I want to cast Shatter on the statue.
Fuck yeah.
Callie, you hold your hand up to the statue and you see your sort of frosty hand starts to take on more of like a spring rain as things start to get like a little bit more slushy, and you begin to transfer your heat over to this frozen statue.
I think it's like snowdrops are a flower that are some of the first to bloom in the spring, and they even sometimes like push up through frost. So I think that's what's happening on my hand.
Wow. So yeah, flowers begin to sprout out of your hand, and there's this burst of starfire energy. Through this power, you see a swirl of blue energy join it that takes the form of Lumi the Arctic Fox that follows the arc of your magic strike and explodes on impact with the statue. It shatters this crystalline figure into a million little pieces of ice, and you see a bright light. You have to kind of shield yourself. Calder, you see this as you pass, this like explosion in the room.
Wow.
And for a brief moment, you see the image of Lumi jumping into Ariox's arms. And as he catches her, they turn into a swirling sphere of blue magic that rejects the rest of the havoc in the room, sending it out onto the mountain following the ice knife. And Callie and Calder, you guys see the sphere here between pulses of arcane energy does take on a like corporeal form, takes on the face of Ariox the Eladrin, who looks out at you and goes, "Thank you for freeing me."
Of course. I mean, really the thing that's moving me the most is just seeing you and Lumi reunited.
You see in the sphere flashes of Lumi hopping around.
I'm crying a little bit, but I'm like, I'm just melting. That's all. I'm not crying.
Ariox,
she's dying.
Ariox nods.
There is still one more thing we must do before I can rest.
Okay.
Tell us.
You see bits of snow and frost in the room seem to sort of react to him like a magnet as energy gathers and then disperses and flies towards both of you. It seems like it's trying to either like enchant or possess you, but I'll let you guys decide if you want to roll a save or not.
Oh, we can choose to fail.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I look at Calder, even though this is all happening so fast. I feel like to trust Ariox in this moment is to kind of like believe in his vision of us, which is a vision that I want to believe in. So, yeah, I think I look at Calder and I smile and I don't take out my sword or my shield.
If you believe in me, I believe in you. I leave my sword at my side.
Let's bet on everything that he drew of us on the wall.
I want to see ourselves like he sees us.
Yeah, exactly, right?
You feel this rush of magical energy enter your body. And it's not quite a possession or a charm because you still feel like you have control, but you feel a surge of power as it feels like you have the added wisdom and power of someone else. Your outer body glows blue, but you feel a warmth on the inside and a great strength, a wealth of arcane knowledge. You are just buzzing with energy and power.
Wow, we gotta give some of this to Saul.
Yeah, we really do.
You guys do see Saul just collapsed out in the snow on the mountain. Now that the havoc has dispersed, you see more clearly what's going on outside.
This shit's so good, I gotta share it.
Dude.
You guys go out onto the mountain towards Saul and see that he has collapsed here in the snow. You sense that you're getting close to Alexandrite, even though she's just, you know, a silhouette in the distance. You feel this static that has affected Saul, that has taken him down, that has left him prone and unable to act. But you feel a layer of protection, Ariox's wisdom kind of clearing your thoughts.
Calder, Callie, she's here. She's here. It's gotta be now.
It's okay, we're here now. And then I put my glowing blue hand on Saul and I give him a good contact high.
Oh.
Partake of that fucking wisdom.
I run over, kneel beside him, and blow in his hair.
You guys both grab Saul's hand. And Saul, you feel the magic enter your body. Whoa. And slowly begin regaining control and sort of find yourself in a more kind of relaxing, meditative state. But as you pull yourself up and as you join your friends here, all standing on the edge of the world, starry night sky, streak in the sky, you see the blue crystalline magic makes a small barrier of floating snow in front of you as if to shield you. And you hear Ariax go, "I cannot protect you if you wander too far." Even from here, she can sense malice, anger, plotting. "I am doing my best to cool your passion. But you need patience. You will know the right moment when it comes."
So we're gonna let Gowan go in there by himself.
You feel a cool breeze go through you.
So we're just gonna let Gowan go in there by himself.
And you start to kind of warm to that idea.
Yeah. Okay.
After Calliope, it is Alexandrite's turn. You see down further in the mountain pass, she hovers over to Gowan. They're a bit of a ways away, and you can just hear bits and pieces of their conversation over the howling wind. Gowan is holding the ice knife, imbued with these runes, out of which Havoc's tendrils lash out in all directions. You see him hesitating. His head is down. He's defeated, but he looks over the edge of the mountain, and he sees the village. He thinks about it, then gathers his courage and hands the sword over to her.
Oh my god.
The machine takes no gratification in this. This is just another job done, on to the next one. She holds the sword up and inspects it for a second, then points up at the sky towards the planar rift. She looks to be casting a spell through it. You see swirls of havoc shoot towards the crack in the sky. And then, nothing. The gate doesn't open. She tries again, but she doesn't know yet that she needs another component. In this moment, you see a brief flicker of humanity in her face, a look of confusion. Calder, that is your turn.
I get up out of the snow, and I cast Booming Blade on Shard. I stab him into the ground and scream out, "Meat Shed!"
Huh? Alexandrite turns to look at you, has not heard of Shard or anything about it, sees the magic on it, doesn't recognize it, but Gowan's eyes go wide as he hears the words "meat shed," and they go from sort of wide and lost to quickly changing to like narrow and determined, like he's just been let in on a plan. And in the brief moment of confusion from Alexandrite, he launches in, grabs the hilt of the ice knife, and stabs it through her chest.
Yes.
Yeah, dude.
As the sword plunges into her, havoc, the opposite of logic and order, shoots through her, infecting her like a virus. You guys have injured avatars of Alexandrite before, in so much that you've damaged the bodies that she's possessed, but you've never really seen her react. But this looks like a true strike. She shrieks as her body begins rapidly changing forms.
Yes.
You hear the voices of giants, dwarves, dragons, humans, Beatrix, all mixed into one as her system overloads. But after a moment, She seems to regain a semblance of control. She reaches out with an extending arm that bursts into wires and wraps the cables around Gowan's neck. She lets out an explosive charge that throws them both apart, sending the ice knife flying into the snow and turning Gowan stark white as he collapses.
No, brother.
Alexandrite stands up, gripping her wound. It is a real wound, dripping with dark, oily liquid, a sick parody of a human. She clutches it and tries to heal it or shift forms, but no matter how she changes her body, the wound stays. She is not dead yet, but it looks like she can now be killed. Calder, Saul, and Callie, you feel the power of Ariok's surge through you in one last burst.
This is as far as I go. The future is up to you. Fly, Peregrine.
You feel one last surge of power as you are given the benefits of a long rest and you level up. And that is where we'll end our session.
Wow.
But you guys are at full health, full abilities.
Awesome.
Blessings of Ariox on top of this mountain.
Blessings to you, sir. Wow. Blessings to you for this ep. Good morning and
thanks,
blessings.
Dude. Good morning and blessings.
Sorry about all the Tom and Jerry stuff up top, but we really got there in the end.
Yeah.
We sure did.
Yeah. We got that mouse.
Hell yeah. All right, everybody. Thank you all so much for listening. You can check out our Patreon, patreon.com/nadpod. That's NEDDPOD. Don't sing yet. Don't do it. Don't
just
do
blessings
it.
Blessings to you.
To listen to our after show, The Short Rest. Does anyone have anything they'd like to plug?
Rocket Scientists. I listened to a really beautiful interview with a rocket scientist who, one of the Voyagers, which is like a 45-year-old satellite whatever. It started to break down, and from so many light years away, they were able to fix it.
Wow.
And it just it's just real life magic. So shit. Just shout out
so
to
not this specific
scientists.
Interview, you're just plugging rocket scientists.
No, I guess I'm not trying to plug as much as a shout out.
Shout out to rocket scientists.
Shout out to the rocket scientists out there.
Yeah.
Mine's a lot less important, but there's a HeadGum live show at the Bell House on Tuesday.
Cool. And how many satellites were you guys gonna fix there?
Yeah.
Or
are you guys furthering humanity there or what?
Yeah.
No, it's just in Brooklyn. It's just at the Bell House on Tuesday. Me and Amir are gonna host it. HeadGum.com/live.
Oh.
That's great. Yeah, that sounds really fun. I'll bring this discussion even further into the muck and plug another cartoon.
All right.
I've been watching a lot of Craig of the Creek with my family, and it's just a really, really nice show. It's one of the best modern cartoon shows, I think. So go watch Craig of the Creek.
Hell yeah.
I really like it.
I'm going to go ahead and plug Tom and Jerry.
Yeah. You
know? Right.
Dude, I've also been watching a lot of Tom and Jerry, believe it or not.
You already did.
I don't know that we've plugged it enough. and you can follow us on social media that we may or may not use, at THMurfsMe. At Caldy's Caldwell, at Extra Emily, and at Your Coach is Jake, and you can tweet about the show using #NadPod. That's NADDPOD.
We are the youth of the nation. We are the youth of the nation.
It's the end of the show, everyone, and you know what that means. It's time to shout out our benevolent council of elders, starting with Brad D, Jeffrey S, Lord of the Fjord, Hugh C, Later McSkater, Matt M, Cutter W, Jeff C, Daniel G, Danielle the Dastardly Dame, Beardman Dan, Danny P, Bryant, the Very Worst DM, Victor T, Balnor's Boy, Hoyd's Friend, Justin I, Danny Shares a Birthday with Goofy Danster, TJM, Treylay the Crayfay, Discolanius, Christopher B, Daniel R, Jordan L, Cyborg Version of Josh the Kobold, Targut, Stevie Wags, Hellish Rebuker PhD, Princess Yar, Jory S, Jack L, Nicholas C, star of every film ever made in Bohemia, now starring in Iron Deep production of A Squire Never Tires, Mike H, Elka Schmelzer Plus, Great Value Gemma, Tyler F. Nabadger, Panama James, Carborough Chapel Hill FPV, Rex Thaniel the White, Diana De Los Lopez, CC Lulu,
Hercule Poirot, a rapid folk detective. Timmy R. Reiko. Calder comes cold. Shout out to the cold come companions. Frosty Facial. Taylor B., the vengeful one-winged angel. Cass, skateboard Cass. Steven speeds into the seasons of sneezin' sea. Lady Taco and Team Incredulity. Nick W., William W., Big Bad Bird of the Mad. Eric McD., Ananorama. Percival Frederick Stein von Musel Glazowski Dorolo III. J. Dragonborn, guardian of the vibe, and their piranha princess. Performative Lunge. That one's new and that's so funny to me. The Sandrian. Ben A. Dave H. Christian S. Showin' Sweet Blue Hole. Dustin S. Danny F. Hawkeye Pierce. Bookfar's assistant Izzy F. DPC is awesome. Hashtag honor the cock. I was wondering if we get some of those. Shone, the shade tree mechanic of Zelbuldar, Summer Rose Grand Terre, Misa of House Inzunza, Ariel, the occasional mermaid, Selena and Velaciraptor, B. Perky Hoes, Maxwell J., Lauren H., Serve 16, the Bone Duster, Annie, the Feywild Therapist, Skillful Ferret, I would like to see that cryptic triptych that Calliope encountered, for sure. Connor Savage. Salil. Weed Goku 69, aka Dunk at 16, experimenting with drugs. BioQuart 7. Sullivan H. Jack H. King of the Mole People Under Iron Deep, dressed in blue and fighting his way through a bracket-style tournament. Lindsay W. Valen. Carlin C. Emily S. Noah, the bullywug boy, hashtag honor the cock. There it is again. James G, everything Bago, the Aladrin who just wants to hang out with his pet badger Stripey. Daddy Master Dandy. Han, Eric B, Marcos, learns the balance druid. Frida M, Tracy P, the crick elf librarian. Maggie S, Holly Hyena, Giovanni the fighter, Akash the car, Doofiness, Russell H., a monk named Dilgo, Cody C., Keychains Pentium 2 processor, Lorelei the succubus and Kira her busty queen, Matt M., your friendly neighborhood yaunt and yunkle Andrew and Sid, John Adams, the write-in candidate for 2024, Meg, the mail carrier manager of Bohemia, James F., Jimmy A., M4L, Austin S., Wayfarer now has to do something with the trolls. Get rid of them. Turn to page 42. Keep them. Turn to page 69. Shane C., Barpo, Good Barrel, Barbarian, Welshlander, Garrett G., One Big Curd, Mr. D., Havy, Half Orc, Half Guppy, Renee, the Monster Captain, Box, Clifton, Olivia the Enchanting Bard, and Jared the Soap Opera Cleric, who are playing Stick It to the Man, Down with the Monarchy, yeah! Riley S., Fico, Garrett the Artificer, Anthony the Raddest of Dudes, Josh H., Caleb L., the Fairies Say, Om Nom 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 Nom, Cantrip Dumbledore the Bear Onesie Wearing Barbarian, Lexi H., MJ the BFG, No Drug, the Pass a Fist Barbarian, Gino T, Mama Bell, Derek D, Tristan the Talentless Hunk, Leon K, Legendary Bohemia from a Future Campaign, Shenanigans O'Connor, Mios the Great, Joshua S, Alexander, Linz W, Angel La Pamela the Forever Vindicated, Emma S, Red the Reforged Warforge, Pavu Eskinar, the Goliath Paladin providing service with a smile. The Grinch tried to pump my gas in Jersey and so I put the car in reverse. A cat napping in a sunbeam listening to a podcast. C-Jam Hampton, Shell B, Ken, a second favorite sprite girl, excited to see the Dream Team in New York City while dressing up like Sophia Lee. Ooh, I can't wait. Jackson R, Blake H, searching for a sweet blue hole with his bestie Big Bev. Papa Sky Days, Claire and Cal enjoying a sticky bun by the crick. Meemaw Sky Days,
Oh, it's V. Tommy W., Haley the Human, Megan N., the Big M., Balnor's best friend Steve, Stephanie of House in Zunza, Jake's Ramen Shop, R.I.P. Melchior the Brave, Leonin Warrior, who even cares about the rest of the party, Benjamin A., Sacrificial Otaku, pen name for Callie's cousin who discovered anime and is trying to spread it all over Bohemia, Mikkel A., Josh H., Form, the other hooves and legs, Froki, Maple, the shy bookworm, Seth E., Billy Batson, Tori the Dragoose, son of Thomas the blind bisexual goose, Bicon, and father of 69 Signets, real goose, look him up. Michael Lyle S. II, Jacob, the purveyor of shenanigans, Nova Cry, Parcel, Dex Riddlewell, Hannah A., Ace, Dregs, High Lord of Critchburg, Brody R., Joshua F., Darius D., Troy's Mom, Vin Diagram, Nurse Betty 141, GKCT, Cadimius the Consumed. Sorry, I said that wrong. Cadimius the Consumed. Hossinator, Bard of Holding, Clinton P., Cam the Frogman, Swags, Dry Cousin from Glade Home, Dean, Jake, Bohemia's number one, D.I.T., Uncultured Corvid, and finally, Tuesday Cross, the choose-your-own-adventure writer, not the porn star. Welcome, welcome to the fold. Thank you all so much for supporting us. We love you. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Goodbye, sweeties.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.